Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pipeline Pioneers, a sales intel show where our goal is to help the community learn from each other, from the leaders, from practitioners, and from the experts as to how to generate the best pipeline for your business. Today, I'm excited to have Randy with me. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, we are excited as well. Randy, as we know, we at Sales Intel call generating pipeline is a team sport, right? It's not just the responsibility of a salesperson or marketing. It's a BDR. Everybody takes a role in the organization to generate the pipeline. So tell us about yourself to kick things off, and how in your role do you help influence the pipeline for your business?
Yeah, so I'm over sales, marketing, and customer success. And so I have frontline leaders, but the thing that we focus on is the customer. I hear a lot about teams that aren't aligned, and it's always about what are our customers asking for right now. So that's really how we generate pipeline, is we talk to our existing customers, find out what's top of mind. And that's what we use in our content. We have webinars, podcasts, thought leadership, and we do micro events. But we get all of our best ideas from our current existing customers.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So Randy, last year was hard for lots of companies, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have enough pipeline. The pipeline that was there just didn't turn into business. Mm-hmm. Macroeconomic headwinds, didn't help anybody. And along the way, when things are bad, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
What was one mistake that you look back and say, you know what, I wish I had done things differently?
Yeah. So for us, specifically in healthcare, we always have longer contract cycles just because of contracting, cybersecurity, PHI. And one of the things that we did, I don't think we asked ourselves enough in our conversations with our customers, where we understand that this is a problem we're solving, but is it a problem we're solving right now? So I think that difference of like when, because we had some exceedingly long contract cycles, and I think that we could have prevented some gaps, or recognizing those gaps, if we would have had the conversation earlier about, is this a problem we're solving right now? There was a timing urgency,
yep,
lack thereof. Yep. And so there was longer contract cycles for us. That's what we saw. And I think we could have done better, in our discovery early often. Yes, this is a problem that they want to solve, but the timing, is it urgent right now?
And that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. It's so simple. It's like, how could you miss this? But, it happens. And sometimes you have to take your knocks and learn from them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Especially last year and some part of this year as well, because the sales cycles have been, kind of getting longer.
Longer. And, I was just at a masterclass last week, and we were talking about the number of people in a deal, and healthcare is notorious for large numbers, especially enterprise. And when I first kind of answered a questionnaire, I think I said 16, and I'm like, no, scratch that, 32. Yeah. And we talked to some other people who have even had larger, buying teams. And of course, you got to get everyone aligned, right? So that buyer alignment is super critical.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Well, so 24 is here. Mm-hmm. We have new budgets, new experiments, new goals. What is one thing that you're most excited about in generating a pipeline?
Yeah, so last year we had some success with some micro events. And so we decided to play with that a little bit more. And for me, how I define a micro event is that there's like a bigger conference going on where my ICP is going to be, and I have something, offsite, and it's a mix of customers and non-customers. And the reason I'd like to have a mix is I'm leveraging my raving fans. I'm very selective of who I invite, who's already a customer, to help drive some customer-led growth. So it's creating community without walls, but also helping drive revenue, because invariably business comes up and they can share their point of view of what they like. And of course, it means more peer-to-peer than anything I can ever say as a thought leader.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. When you say micro event, is it that you go to a large conference and then you host a separate dinner, or you're
Yes.
hosting dinner in different cities?
No. Yeah, no. I'm piggybacking off of a large event. In healthcare, budgets have been cut so much that some of the folks that we typically would see at two or three conferences a year, like, I can only go to one conference a year. And so we're making the most of the folks that are going to conferences. We know they're going to be there. So we're having a micro event, at conferences where they know we're going to be, versus hosting something separate. We do have some virtual thought leadership. Twice a year, I do an executive reimbursement roundtable, and then we also have a reimbursement symposium in the fall where it's educational, and that's, like I said, virtual. But those micro events, piggybacking off of conferences that folks are attending, is been very successful. So we literally just had one in March, and we had several non-customers ask about demos without even being prompted, because they'd spoken to customers who were there and they're like, I didn't know it could do this, even though they've seen things before. But like I said, they're peer-to-peer. You just can't buy that.
That's great. That's awesome. So, Randy, let's switch gears. As we
Yes.
know, growth comes from multiple channels, right? There's no one channel that you can focus on. And our job as go-to-market leaders is to make sure that we are distributing our investments across those channels, right? And the art and science of it is, how do you take the limited resources that you have and distribute across those channels? So in this exercise, you have 100 pennies, right, if you will, and you have multiple channels through which growth comes from. How would you distribute these pennies with the goal to generate the most optimal pipeline?
Sure. So with what I just shared you, I have to share a penny in community event and customer, because the way we do our micro events, it kind of covers all three. Maybe not in the
Community.
traditional sense, but that's the whole intent, right? Is that you're having customers talk to non-customers,
Sure.
and yeah, so definitely that. The other thing is partnerships,
Yeah.
and that's about, for me, that's about access, right? So where don't I have access, and what partners can I partner with to get access? And then brand. We do a lot of webinars, and I think content is really key. You have to have great content. And I'm gonna double down on brand,
Yeah, let's do
because
it. You know,
because for us, we have podcasts, webinars, and that's where we generate a lot of interest. And then, having said that, okay, another double on events, because we're hosting several micro events. That's what we're betting on this year, because we've seen a lot of success for that. And then the other, put one in other. And the reason I always like to have other is I like to hedge my bets. I always want to have a little bit of, I can just say, oh, fudge room, because stuff happens. And then marketing, for sure. And okay, I'm going to have to put some more in customer. And the reason I didn't do sales is because without having people interested, they're not going to talk to sales, right? So I need to get people interested. So everything that I'm doing is about generating trust and awareness and interest. And this year we've had more inbound than ever. And I swear it's because of the micro events. People are still talking after the event.
That is great. That's great. And When you do these micro events, what is the theme and how large are these micro events?
Yeah, so the one that I just had, it was roughly 35 people. And out of those 35, only three were customers. So the rest were non-customers. And then I had, you know, strategically placed myself, my CEO, and another subject matter expert just to, you know, introduce people. I think one of my roles is, you know, number one, knowing my customers, what is going on in the industry, having a point of view. And I've talked to people beforehand, and so I'm making introductions. And, you know, part of the beauty of creating community without walls at these little micro events is that it ends up being lifelong for them, right? Like they have someone in their network that they can reach out to who is going through, you know, XYZ in that same hospital setting. And that is just pure magic. And then, of course, our customers talking about, well, how do you know Randy, or how do you work with Bessler? It's very organic, right? It's not scripted. And we just have some really good customer evangelists that, you know, do a lot for our brand without us asking, because they really like, you know, like our product. And that is, like I said, something you cannot buy. I can say the exact same thing and it does not go anywhere, or not, it doesn't go the way another customer talking to a non-customer.
100%, 100%. You're getting very authentic feedback and testimonial there. So I loved your approach of, you know, 20 pennies in each customer, brand, and events, and 10 on marketing, community, partnership. And you've, you know, kept something in reserve for new experiments here. So let's take
you have to always iterate, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Double down on things that are working, or, you know, try something new. So
right.
This is how our other go-to-market leaders, they have decided to invest their 100 pennies. I'm going to overlay your numbers on top of this, so you can see how their investment, you know, compare against yours, or how yours compare against the broader community. When you look at this chart, what surprises you?
So, you know, I always assume, and this is assumption, right? You know, to me, if you don't have product market fit, you don't have a go-to market strategy, right? So that's why I didn't focus on that. Like, I assume that I have product market fit.
Sure.
Right or wrong, that's how I approach the exercise. And once again, with sales, unless you have people who are interested and willing to talk to you, your outreach now is going to fall on deaf ears. You have to have a strong point of view, interest, and we've had more inbound, you know, than ever because of our event strategy as well as our content strategy. So yes, we do have salespeople, but like, we are creating awareness, and people want to talk to us. And I think that's the difference. So I think it's interesting that there's a lot more sales led. And don't get me wrong, we need people who can carry it, but you have to get the people to the table first.
Yes, I'm with you. And a lot of leaders are shifting more from just having BDRs, AE led sales to, hey, build a brand, make your customers your evangelists. So I'm with you, you know, as far as your bet goes. Randy, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'm sure our audience are going to get a lot of value from the insights that you shared with us. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.